All right, my friends, we've reached the last Mishnah, Maseches Krisus. This is Perek Vav, Mishnah Tes. And since in the previous Mishnah we had said that you essentially can exchange money to purchase a lamb or a goat, as long as it's a female in its first year, for your chatas, that's the same thing. So here, our Mishnah is going to have four separate scenarios where the Torah seems to suggest that one of two items in a pair are the muvchar, the preferred, because the Torah consistently puts one before the other. And if you learn your Chumash, you'll see many times it's understood by the Mefarshim, etc., that the item listed first of the two is the older or more important or more powerful and so on. And therefore, there'd be reason to think if the Torah always mentions A before B in a pair of two things, that A is somehow more important. Now, there is a requirement when you bring karbanos to bring min ha-muvchar, the choice one. And therefore, our first case of Mishnah is going to say that although the Torah almost always mentions the sheep before the goat, and therefore you might think that if you have a scenario where you could choose sheep or goats, like for example, if you're bringing a chatas, so then you might think for some reason that sheep are muvchar, are better than goats, are preferred to goats. If that would be the case, it would have a lach nafkaminas. Like for example, let's say a person has both goats and sheep in his backyard, and he says, Harei alai ola, I commit to bring an ola. You might have thought then that would mean he is obligating himself to bring specifically a sheep because sheep are better and you have to bring min muvchar. And therefore, our Mishnah comes to say that's not the case, although it's true that it almost always does mention sheep before goats. There's a glaring exception, and that exception tells you that really the two are on equal footing and there's no preference one over the other. So that's the first case of the Mishnah. Inside it says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kvasim kodmin le'izim b'chol makom. Rabbi Shimon says, he observes that in the Chumash, in almost every scenario, in almost every instance, kvasim, the sheep, kodmin, precede le'izim, the mention of goats in the psukim. Yachol, and therefore you might have thought incorrectly, b'meishen muvacharin mehen. You might have thought the reason why is because sheep are valued or prized more highly than goats. Talmud lomar, and therefore the pasuk comes to teach you to the contrary. Now, we're going to have a quote here. The quote says, Vim kevis yavi korbano lachatas. That's the quote. Now, the Mishnah is giving you a lot of credit. It's assuming you know that pasuk is coming from Vayikra Perek Dalet, pasuk Lamed Beis, so 432 of Vayikra there, which it's quoting, it's in the context of bringing a private chatas, and there it talks about the possibility of bringing a keves, which is a sheep. But if you know your psukim, and the Mishnah is assuming you do, for psukim earlier on, in Pasuk Chavches, it already says that you can bring a goat as your chatas. The Pasuk says, Vahavi korbano se'iras izim, bring as his offering as a private chatas, a goat. And therefore you see that the goat was mentioned before the sheep to tell you that they're not really one preferred over the other. You have two options, they're equally good, and you can choose goats or sheep interchangeably. Malamed, therefore, comes to teach you, Shishneim Shekulin, to teach you that they both carry equal weight. They're both of equal importance, and there's no preference of one or over the other. Period. That's the first of the four cases of our Mishnah. The second case for Mishnah is another pair of animals that are brought as korbanos, and those are the birds. When you have to bring a pair of birds as a korban, so usually they come, it's a kain, a pair of two. One is for a chatas sa'of, and one is for ola sa'of, typically. Okay? The point is, when you're bringing whatever instance you have, scenario you have to bring birds as korbanos, you have two species of bird you can choose from. Either you can choose from a tur or a yona. A tur is a migratory bird, and a yona is a domestic bird. If you're choosing the tur, it has to be a mature tur. If you're choosing a yona, it has to be bnei yona, immature, like, you know, young yonas. The translation of these into English are almost certainly, tur is translated as turtle dove, or the European turtle dove probably, meaning it's a migratory bird that comes to Israel half the year. They're attractive birds to my mind anyways, and they look very nice. A yona, there's no real difference, like taxonomically, scientifically, between a pigeon and a dove. Don't mix that up with a turtle dove, okay? But in any case, bnei yona are domesticated pigeons that they would, you know, raise over here in Israel, and whether they're black or white, which they both can be, pigeons or doves, it's a domestic kind of bird, that's a yona. In any case, so you can, when you bring a pair of birds, you have to choose. You either have to bring two turin or two bnei yona. You can't switch them, but the point is, does one have a preference over the other? So the Mishnah observes, like in the previous case, that almost always Turin, the Tur, is mentioned before the Bnei Yonah. And therefore you might think incorrectly that Turim somehow have some kind of priority or preference, but that's not the case. So the Mishnah inside as follows. Turin kodmin l'Bnei Yonah b'chol makom. It's true that in almost every scenario, instance in the Psukim, the Turin, with a mem in the Psukim, but a nun in the Mishnah, the turtle doves, kodmin l'Bnei Yonah, they're mentioned before the mention of the baby pigeons. Yachol, and therefore you might have thought incorrectly, mipnei shehen muvchar mehen. You might have thought that some, for some reason, the tour is more important, more valued, or it's muvchar, it gets a priority over the Bnei Yonah. Talmud Lomar, therefore another pasuk, which switches the order, comes teach you the contrary. That pasuk says, uven Yonah o tour lechatas. When you bring your chatas ha'of, you can bring either a Ben Yonah, a baby pigeon, or a tour, a turtle dove. So here you see the Ben Yonah comes before the tour. Malamed to teach you shishneim shekulin, that the two are on equal footing. There's no reason to choose one over the other from a legal point of view. Fine. That's the second of the four cases. Now, the third case, we're really moving away now from the topic of the Masechta we've done with Korbanos, but there's something very similar that happens in the context of honoring your parents. There's a mitzvah to honor your father and a mitzvah to honor your mother. But like the two previous kind of cases in the Mishnah, father is mentioned almost always before the mother in every instance in the Chumash, and therefore you might think for some reason that the honor of your father gets higher prioritization than the honor of your mother. That's incorrect. It says the Mishnah inside, Ha'av kodum la'im b'chol makom. Similar to the structure of the previous two cases in the Mishnah, we observe that when the Psukim talk about father and mother, father is almost always mentioned before the mother. Yachol. And therefore, you might have thought incorrectly. Shekvod ha'av odef al kvod ha'em. There's somehow a preference or prioritization or higher weight put on honoring one's father over honoring one's mother. Incorrect. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk therefore comes to teach the contrary. It says, ish, a person, like you or me, imo va'aviv tira'u. He must revere, yira, his mother and father. See, so mother comes first. So to teach you, shishneim shekulin, melamed shishneim shekulin, to teach you that they're both of equal footing. Now, there's a famous braisa in Kedushin, which says that it observes that there are two separate mitzvahs. One is kavod and one is yira, and I'll define those in a second. But the point is that the pasuk says, it talks about our pasuk here of yira, puts mother before father, whereas the pasuk on kavod says father before mother. And the braisa there teaches you, yeah, because it's normal human nature that people sort of be inclined to give more kavod to their mother because the mother takes care of them and their physical needs, and more inclined to give yira to their father, naturally, because their father disciplines them and teaches them Torah, and you know. But that might be true in terms of human nature, but it's not the proper halachic perspective. The weight you give to your parents in terms of both kavod and yira are equal to mom and dad. Now, kavod essentially means I'll call them the mitzvahs aseh, if you will, the things you have to do positively for your parents, whereas yira means the things that you shouldn't do, if you will, to your parents. So that would mean the kavod includes things like machl and mashke, to give them food and drink, malbish and machase, to, you know, give them clothing, to cover them with a blanket or something, machnes and motzi, to help them, you know, come and go out of their chair, out of the house, etc. So those are like positive acts, that's kavod, and you have equal obligations to both parents. And the yira is things you shouldn't, like, you know, you shouldn't interrupt them when they're talking or arguing with them or sit in their chair. That's the yira mitzvahs. Now, our mission's point here is that they're on equal footing. So question, if your mom and dad both ask at the same time to get them a cup of wine, who do you listen to? The answer is your father. That's a halachic truth. So why is that the case? That's what our Mishnah said. The answer is because your mother also has an obligation to mechabed your father. It's a separate obligation of a wife to a husband. And to the extent that the things she has to do, for example, get him a cup of wine, so since she also has to give him a cup of wine, therefore the halacha would be that if they both ask you simultaneously for a cup of wine, you should get it for your father before your mother, because she also has an obligation to be mechabed him. And therefore you might say to yourself, well, wait a second, the whole thing's a big joke then. Don't tell me they're on equal footing. They're not equal footing. You have to give kavod to your father before your mother. The answer is wrong. That's not true. I just have to have a bit of a lamdish cup, not a little one. They're just a very little one. First of all, it only applies to things like getting a cup of wine, because mizga kos applies to a wife to her husband also. But there are other things that the wife does not have to do for her husband, and that the child wouldn't have prioritization of giving it to the father before the mother. And much more importantly, like, you know, bring out the point, if parents are divorced, so then there's no obligation, of course, on the wife to the husband because it's not a wife anymore. And that being the case, if you have two divorced parents and you're sitting at the chasna of your child and there are the grandparents that are sitting there and they're not married, and both of them at the same time say, you know, bring me a cup of wine, there's no obligation to bring to your father first. You can bring to either one you want first. Okay. That's the third of the four cases. And the final case is talking about the pair of one's father and one's Rebbe Muvchak. Now, let me make this clear. There is a mitzvah from the Torah to give, to be mechabed, to honor Talmidei Chachamim. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. That applies to everybody. Both a father and son would have to be mechabed a rav as a Talmid Chacham. Okay. There are special extra requirements on a student to honor his teacher if his teacher has the halachic status of Rabo Muvchak. Doesn't translate literally exactly, but the halachic definition is that the student learned the majority of his wisdom from his teacher. Okay, now in the year, you know, in the 21st century, we don't have that relationship with our rebbes usually. Okay, maybe a person's a Baal Tshuva and, you know, he started out and he's the local rav of, you know, his rabbi. So in the beginning, that rabbi taught him everything. So it's his Rebbe Muvchak. But over time, you know, most of us learn most of our wisdom from variety of places, from audio recordings and reading Sfarim and having a community rabbi. It's a hodgepodge. Okay, so that being the case, we don't really have Rebbe Muvchak nowadays usually, because every year if you're at school, you had a different Rebbe in yeshiva and that kind of stuff. But in any case, if you would, then there are special halachic privileges that the Rebbe Muvchak gets. Now, our mission is going to essentially kind of pit the Rebbe Muvchak against the father. So we're looking from the perspective of the student. We'll call the student, you know, Yitzchak, okay? And his Rebbe's name is Moshe, and his father's name is Avraham. Okay, so the question is, little Yitzchak, who does he give priority in terms of kavod, to his Rebbe Moshe or to his father Avraham? So the answer is, if it's a Rebbe Muvchak, it should go normally to the Rebbe first. Why? Because Moshe is both a Rebbe Muvchak and also a Talmid Chacham, and therefore, not only does the student Yitzchak have an obligation to be mechabedim as Rebbe Muvchak, but also the father Avram has an obligation to be mechabedim as a Talmid Chacham. However, I should point out, if Avram the father is a Talmid Chacham in his own right, so then he doesn't have a special obligation to be mechabed the Rebbe, and therefore, so if the father weren't a Talmid Chacham, and we're talking even of a lesser Talmid Chacham than the Rebbe, but still a Talmid Chacham, if he weren't a Talmid Chacham, then it's kind of the same setup as the child to the two parents, since the child has obligations of both father and mother, but since the mother has obligations to father as well, the father goes first. So similarly, if the child has obligations to the Rebbe and the father, but the father also has obligations to the Rebbe, so then the Rebbe goes first. That again assumes A, Rebbe Muvchak, and B, that the father is not a Talmid Chacham. If it's not Rebbe Muvchak, or if the father is a Talmid Chacham, even of lesser stature, then the father comes first once again. That's sort of the summary. And so the Mishnah says as follows. The Chein B'Talmud Torah, similar to the setup with the father and mother, goes when it comes to the situation of Talmud Torah, if you have a Rebbe. Im zacha haben lifnei harav. Now, this doesn't translate well in English literally at all. It simply means if the child merits before the teacher. But this is referring to if the child had the zuchus to sit before Rebbe Muvchak. So he has a Rebbe Muvchak, and that Rebbe Muvchak taught him most of what he knows. So now, the halacha is kodem esa'av b'chol makom. So then, from the perspective of this student, Yitzchak, his Rebbe Moshe gets priority over his father Avram in all situations, because Avram has to be mechabedim also, and he's a Rebbe Muvchak. B'pnei shehu v'aviv chayavim b'chvod rabo, because both he, the student, as well as the father, have an obligation to mechabed the Rebbe, because the student, because it's Rebbe Muvchak, and the father, because he's a Talmid Chacham. But again, if the father is a Talmid Chacham also, therefore no special obligation to mechabed the Rebbe, so then that wouldn't be true, and the child would give honor to his father first. This would apply both in terms of kavod as well as, you know, saving the person from loss, you know, if you redeem him from captivity or to return his lost object, if you have both of them, that kind of thing. So if the scenario is where the Rebbe gets priority, so that means the child would give the Rebbe his lost object or retrieve the lost object or redeem the Rebbe and so on first. I think it's pretty famous in the Gemara Kedushin, a rationale for why, and the Gemara says, and we end with this, that although the father's entitled to, of course, kavod because he gave life to his son, and therefore the son, so to speak, owes him his life in a way, in terms of kavod anyways, but the father just brought him to this world, but the Revi brings him life in the world to come, and therefore that is more important, and that's why the Reb Mufchak gets prioritized with kavod even above the father. And with that, we finish Maseches Krisos, Baruch Hashem, and next up we have Maseches Me'ilah.